St. John's Gospel today tells us of the events that took place early on the morning of the day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and the confusion and uncertainty described by John were resolved over the 50 days leading to Pentecost. Then our first lesson this morning from the Acts of the Apostles describes a day about 9 years later when Simon Peter visited the home of a Roman centurion named Cornelius in the port city of Caesarea on the Mediterranean coast just south of modern Haifa. The ancient Phoenicians had a settlement at the site of Caesarea, but it was Herod the Great, the ruler who murdered all the little boys in Bethlehem in the vain attempt to kill the Christ. It was Herod who built the new city and harbor, which became the capital of the Roman province of Judea just a few years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. And it was also Herod who named that place after his patron, the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. Chapter 10 of the Acts of the Apostles describes how the centurion Cornelius and the Apostle Peter were each directed by angelic messengers to come together for an encounter which was an inflection point in the church's mission to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the nations. Cornelius was an honest and honorable soldier in the Roman army who sought to live an upright life by worshiping God as he understood him and by treating all other people with charity and justice, including especially the Jews who lived under Rome's authority. St. Luke describes the Gentile Cornelius as devout and God-fearing and says that he prayed to God constantly. In this way, Cornelius is an example of a pagan who does not yet know the truth of divine revelation, but whose life is nonetheless imbued with a deep religious sense, an awareness, as the Second Vatican Council put it, of a hidden power which lies behind the course of nature and the events of human life. In such upright people who have not yet heard the gospel, the council continues, there is at times even a recognition of a supreme being, or still more, of a father. It was to just such pagans as Cornelius that the apostles first proclaimed among the Gentiles the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. The church bore witness to the truth that the Son of Mary is also God the Son, that he was tortured, murdered, and buried just as he said he would be, and that early on a Sunday morning, the risen Lord Jesus threw down the gates of death and walked out of his tomb to reveal the abundance of God's glory and grace in his resurrection to eternal life. And that is what Peter explained to Cornelius and his family and friends at Caesarea, that Jesus of Nazareth, who was baptized by John, was anointed by God the Father as the Christ and was filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. The Lord Jesus then traveled the land, healing the sick and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. But the temple authorities put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man, Peter continued, God raised up on the third day and granted that he be visible not to all people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. Friends, the only difference between the apostles and us is the 2 millennia that lie between us. We are here today precisely because, like the apostles, we are witnesses to Christ's resurrection. We were chosen by God in advance. We were called and sent in our baptism to testify that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of the living God, the divine Messiah who offers forgiveness of sins to all who trust in him. Only the Lord Jesus can give us the freedom of the children of God by a share in his own divine nature, a supernatural gift that we receive from him by grace through faith. When we eat and drink with Christ, just as we are about to do in the sacrificial meal of the Most Holy Eucharist. When Cornelius and his household heard the gospel proclaimed by Peter, they received the word of God with the obedience of faith and were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, all who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior were baptized, and so were made children of God and heirs of the eternal kingdom. 2,000 years later, we are gathered here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ by renewing the promises of our baptism, and then by being nourished unto everlasting life by the sacred body and precious blood of the risen Lord. But to be witnesses of Christ requires us not just to come to Mass on Sunday, and still less only on Easter Sunday. No, to be witnesses of Christ also requires us, with our words and with our lives, to proclaim the gospel always and everywhere to everyone we meet, by introducing them to saving friendship with the Lord Jesus, just as Peter did with Cornelius. Have you ever spoken to someone of your faith in the risen Lord Jesus? Spoke of him by name, by the holy name of Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven given among men by which we are to be saved from the grave? The entire world is the church's mission field, and for us it starts just outside our doors. Every home and office, every business and neighborhood, every school and university is filled with people who need to hear the word of God and receive Jesus Christ with saving faith. And by our baptism, we are called and sent to them so that they will hear the gospel, rejoice in the resurrection, and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by a decision to follow him in the way of the cross and seek the forgiveness of sins in his holy name alone. Now, testifying to Jesus Christ, to his divine grace and the power of his mercy, can be embarrassing work at first. Just as saying, "I love you," to someone for the first time can be terribly awkward. But friends, once you start telling people about your friendship with Jesus Christ, you'll find that you cannot stop, because the Lord Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the risen Savior of all mankind. All time belongs to him at all the ages. To him be glory and power through every age and forever. Amen. Christos Anesti, Alithos Anesti. Christ is risen. Truly he is risen. Alleluia. Alleluia.